Total Tuscany Podcast, number 29. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. Thanks for finding us on TotalTuscany.com or subscribing to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. I'm Travis Justice. Good to have you along for another week as we talk Tuscany. And joining me once again, my travel partner, Mr. Pat Campagna. Pat, what's going on?
Travis, we're here again.
We are here again, and we have very, very, very big news to pass along as you and I will be back in Tuscany the second week of March, ready to deliver wonderful stories, record podcast in Tuscany, shoot video, tell wonderful stories that we think you will find interesting and want to learn more about as you plan your next trip to Tuscany. Excited to get over there?
Excited to go back home. That's a good way to put that, right?
You know, we've built up so many good relationships over the past year of doing this podcast. We've talked to so many great people, heard so many fascinating stories, and really, we record this podcast in the United States, and now we've reached back out to the people we've talked to, and we're going to be really busy for a week meeting people and talking business, talking Tuscany, and putting a face with the voice of all the people we've interviewed.
I cannot wait to meet the people that we've been visiting with. They're just great people, but I can't wait to sit in a cafe and have a cappuccino and a glass of wine and hang out with our friends.
And of course, if you're listening to this podcast right now, we know that you're passionate about Tuscany. You may have been there before. You may be planning your first trip to Tuscany. If there are stories that you want to hear, or if there are stories you want to know about, let us know. We can plan in advance to come back from Tuscany with a number of stories ready to deliver and ready to give to you. And one of the stories we're really excited about is to see the progress of the Pazzi Chapel at the Opera di Santa Croce in Florence, because we were backers of that Kickstarter campaign, and it was a crazy success.
Huge
for
success.
Crazy for Pazzi. I mean, it's amazing the amount of money that was raised in a short amount of time for that.
And it was a global effort, really. A global effort that it was fun to take part in something like that, which was a first-time event.
It was a first-time event to raise such funds for such an important historic building in Florence, and it really is probably going to pave the way for future fundraising projects in Italy, Florence, and Tuscany. And to kind of bring us up to date on what is next for the Pazzi Chapel and the Opera di Santa Croce, we thought now would be a good time to get a follow-up. And that's why today on the Total Tuscany Podcast, we welcome Helen Farrell from the Florentine and Paolo Vonovich from the Opera di Santa Croce.
You know, Paolo, one of the great things to watch over that fundraising campaign through the Kickstarter campaign was just to watch the money go up each and every day. How often did you check the website every day to see how much money you were raising?
Do I have to say the truth?
Yes.
I think that I did sleep at night, but I did check it all the time. It was the first thing on my mind in the morning and every morning. And as you know, how the Kickstarter works is if you don't reach your goal, you actually don't get anything. And this is something that most people didn't really know about Kickstarter. And when we would try to tell them, and I would write emails or say to people in person that I met during our campaign, and when I would say this, no one could believe it. But they were like, wait, no, you have 35,000. And I would say, no, we don't really have anything yet. So that was the challenging part, you know, seeing that number change, but there was really no guarantee.
This was really a groundbreaking effort, wasn't it, to secure funds outside of the country to restore something that's a World Heritage type site, correct?
Yes. All of Florence is actually listed on the UNESCO World Heritage List. So Santa Croce is also part of it. And I think for me, what was really special is to see people, not only from Italy, but mostly from the U.S. donating, but also from countries like New Zealand and Australia and Chile, Mexico, Brazil. I mean, really, we have reached people around the globe, and that was something that really touched me deeply. Just how many people were moved to give even the smallest donations, but then to write us a small note and say, we really hope you will make it. So I think that the outpour of love was what really inspired me greatly.
I think it inspired us all. You know, this is something that the Florentine sees on a daily basis, this love for Florence and for Tuscany and for Italy. And to actually see this love actually set in motion, in action, that people actually respond to a call for help, for a cry for help for such a historic and important monument within the city of Florence. I think that's something that, as a team, Opera di Santa Croce, the Florentine, and also another external partner, Alice Gaines, who helped us out. It's something that we witnessed on a daily basis. And I think it moved us all tremendously as well to see that outpouring of love, as Tyler says.
And Helen, that was going to be one of my next questions, especially directed at you, is that, you know, as a journalist or somebody who writes for a living, you wonder how big, I think we all go through, people who blog or people who write, go through, God, am I making a difference? Do people read what I write? Do they care about what I write? How fulfilling was that for you personally and for the Florentine to see the reaction and the way that you guys were able to get this message out?
Oh, it was immensely fulfilling and quite addictive, you know, as a ride. So to work on this campaign and to see people react to what you write and to the communication campaign that we put together as a team, it's rewarding, you know, to know that there are people out there who respond and who engage. And that's something that we saw through Kickstarter and something that we continue to see on every hour of the day through the Florentine's Facebook page and Twitter and everything else. This level of engagement and this desire to continually give back to Florence. It gives you a rush, you know?
Bring the listeners up to speed. When does the restoration begin and what stage are we in right now?
Yeah, so basically we are pretty much ready to put the scaffolding up, and this is only about, you know, we're going to treat the loggia, so pretty much kind of the porch of this really famous Brunelleschi's creation, the Pazzi Chapel. So we are going to be starting probably in a week or so, and the restoration is scheduled to last about 6 months. And I believe that we will actually stay on time and we will be able to do this because Opera di Santa Croce and also the company that will be taking care of this restoration, they have been hoping to do this for a very long time. So we have everything set in place, all the paperwork, all the research has already been done, and we're pretty much ready to go now that the funds are in.
Has it sunk in yet that the two of you were so critical to this project of restoring something so famous? When the scaffolding goes up, is that when you think it'll set in?
I think for me, I think working in Santa Croce is, first of all, such an honor, and really I feel privileged and lucky to be living in a place like Florence and working in such a, you know, Santa Croce is actually celebrating 720th anniversary of its existence. Well, it actually was last year, 2014. And I think I'm just aware that I'm a little part of the puzzle and that everyone, you know, gets to, we can achieve so much more as a member of a team than, you know, all of us individually. I think we were really lucky to have great partners, the Florentine, and then the RS Games, a company from Tuscany, has already been very successful in doing fundraising with Kickstarter for their projects. So I think with their experience and their knowledge, we were given a boost that maybe medieval complex like Santa Croce didn't really have on its own. We're using new technologies. We're using everything that we have never really used at the opera before, and this is something, you know, I think it was groundbreaking, and I hope that our experience, you know, will be a good lesson for everyone, for other institutions in Florence, but also in Italy. I don't want to say that we are the best and we did this first. It just happened that we were the first one to thought of this new approach. So I think we were really lucky to have just the right combination of people and passion and enthusiasm that went into it.
Yes, you know, Opera di Santa Croce is the fundamental institution involved with this, and the Florentine is involved as a communications partner and this other company, RS Games. But what's more important than anything else is that it's this community that's been built up around this project. So it's not about Paola and myself and everybody else who was involved. It's about every single individual. That person who donated a euro from New Zealand, or, you know, somebody on some distant island, I don't know, in Iceland or wherever they were, he felt so moved to actually be involved. And that's what this is about. It's about the community that's been built up around this project, that when we all work together as a team and we're moved and infused by our passion and our love of Florence and Italy, we can do something so much bigger amongst, you know, all together, rather than us just doing it as individuals, as Paola says. It's this need for teamwork and innovation, and that's something that, you know, we hope that this project will set a precedent for Italy as a way of protecting its cultural heritage.
You know, Helen, you mentioned the team, and I got to be honest, I felt like when we did our first podcast, we were on the team. So let's call the Florentine the mothership of information. But how many other people do you think blogged on this and helped promote it from our podcast to other blogs? How many people took your story and really got the word out there?
I think that's something I was involved in the press side, and on a local level, immediately the local press got involved and the international blogging community, and then we had an architectural journal, a very influential online publication in the world of architecture that got involved, and they helped immensely, and you guys of course helped immensely towards the success of this project. And it was very much, we could see that we'd sort of dropped a stone in a pool of water, and the ripples started going outwards, and that's the success of this project stemmed from that. You know, we just set things in motion, but then things just went by themselves. Obviously, there was a lot of work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was wonderful and set things in rolling. But really, it was very much the communication spread outwards internationally. So what started off as a local project ended up being very much a global and international project. And that was what was so wonderful to see.
Paolo, did you ever get pushback? Because there's a lot of things that are traditional in fundraising. Did anybody, were there any naysayers like, you can't do it this way, it's never been done this way?
No. I think there was just an excitement of people I met, and everybody was pretty much telling me, we are watching you, and we were, you know, trying to see what is going to happen. I think, you know, we were looking forward to the end of this campaign and every day counting the days and how much more we need. But I think we were not the only ones. The entire city was kind of cheering us on. I think it just gave kind of this hope to everyone else involved in this field that, you know, it actually, we have done something really amazing. It can be repeated again, because Florence is really such a special city. And I think every monument, every work of art in the city could inspire people to give. I want to just add one more thing. Our director of Opera di Santa Croce, Giuseppe De Micheli, you know, when we were looking at the last final numbers, he said to me, oh, we have 859 new friends of Santa Croce, which was the number of our backers. And I think the number of our friends is not just that. I think it just goes, it multiplies, you know, so much more, because so many people were not able maybe to give a monetary donation, but maybe posted it on their Facebook or shared this information or, you know, blogged or tweeted about it. So I think it was, as Helen said, just, you know, there was immediate reaction around the world.
And also locally, I'm just adding, you know, like as part of the job, you know, as editor of the Florentine, I'm often out and about, and the whole editorial team and management team is often out and about and going to events, press conferences, and meeting various people. And it was very much, so how's it going? Crazy for Patsy, how's it going? And people were enthusiastic about it and moved by it, and they wanted to talk about it. And that was so wonderful to see, you know, that people were supporting us just on a, even if they weren't giving anything financially, they were spreading the word, and that was what's so important in this project.
It also happened to me that one lady in her 70s actually came to my office in Santa Croce. She read about it in the paper, and of course she didn't even, you know, have probably email address to log on to. Just imagine making a donation on Kickstarter. So she actually brought cash in, and she asked me if she could, you know, do it in person, and she asked me all about it, and to just the sweetest gift that day, that she cared so much to make a donation actually in the name of someone else. So I think foreign people are really inspired by this.
There's bound to be some duplicate efforts as a result of what the two of you and the organizations have accomplished here. And that's just exciting for us to see.
So,
is there any portion of the project, any portion of the chapel, where there's some additional restoration funds necessary, where maybe our listeners could help out?
Yes. You know, Santa Croce really, as I said, it celebrates 8th century of existence, and there is so much that needs to be done. And if you have followed our campaign, you probably also see one of our updates was about the fact that we don't really get money from the state or the city. So most of our big restoration projects are thanks to donations, mostly of individuals, actually, or sometimes corporations. This is just the beginning in regards to the Pazzi Chapel, just the portico or the loggia part. But actually, the entire chapel will have to be restored in the near future. And we're talking about all the architectural elements of Brunelleschi, but also look at the La Robbia roundels that were made in terracotta. And we're talking about really an immense sum of money. So this will be something that is going to be coming up in the future. So yeah, there's always donations needed. Also, in 1966, Florence was hit with a horrible flood. And if you visit Florence, I'm sure everyone who loves Florence knows about it. There are flood markers all around the city. And Santa Croce, being so close to the river, was one of the big victims of the flood. So now in Santa Croce, 50 years after the flood, almost 50 years after the flood, we still have altarpieces by Giorgio Vasari and his school that need to be restored. So half century after the flood. And, you know, if you visit Santa Croce, you take a better look at these altarpieces, you will see little pieces look like postmarks, post-it marks, but they're actually Japanese or Chinese, Japanese paper, rice paper, that is there to protect the paint from peeling off. So there's so much to be done. It's kind of a never-ending job, really.
My follow-up question would be about the funding. You mentioned you don't get anything from the city or the state. Now, I don't. I guess we don't need to make a political statement, but is it better to do it the way you just did it, to take out the politics, and maybe do things get done faster when you raise the money on your own?
I think the question we should ask ourselves, you know, well, how we can do, what we can do, to save this amazing heritage of the state, you know? And I think there's so much that has to be restored in this beautiful country like Italy is. You know, it has the most sites listed on UNESCO World Heritage List. So it's like a never-ending, really, project for the state like Italy. But I think whatever we can do, every little really counts to make it happen.
I don't know if you heard recently, a similar issue was raised with the Duomo and the baptistry in Florence. There was an issue raised of the problem of how Opera del Duomo can fund the maintenance and restoration work is so sorely needed for that building in the heart of Florence, which is, of course, a symbol of Florence around the world and the city. And there was a campaign launched by Radio Firenze, obviously an Italian broadcaster, and they went with the hashtag Save Battistero, which then led to discussions which were held between the mayor of Florence, Dario Nadella, and the Italian Minister for Culture, Dario Franceschini. And in the end, I believe that they've come to an agreement that some of the monies raised from ticket sales from Uffizi will go towards maintenance and upkeep of the baptistry. But I mean, there's another example right there of a historic and symbolic building in the middle of Florence is lacking in the funds that it needs to stay there and look beautiful and attract the tourists, you know. So there's another example.
The power of collaboration and the power of working together for a common goal, definitely on display here, guys. You guys should take a bow and be proud.
You guys too, you know. You spread the word, and I know you've been fundamental in backing us, and I'm sure both Paola and I are very appreciative of your support and of everybody's support who made this campaign happen. And you know, once the scaffolding goes up and we see the restoration going on, I think we can all all of us be extremely proud of what we've accomplished here.
I think we should actually bow to the people who donated and who helped us to make this happen. We were just little instruments in that process.
Definitely.
It makes the world a small place, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Well, the good news is Pat and I are going to be in Florence, I believe, the second week of March, and we look forward to seeing the scaffolding around the Santa Croce, and we also look forward to meeting you two.
All right. Well, I think it's the same for us.
Absolutely.
Pat, I'm really excited to see the progress when we get over there in March, because we're going to get a private tour of the construction that is taking place at the Pazzi Chapel, and we're going to be able to take lots of pictures, some video, and really come back and share it with everybody who's a regular listener to the Total Tuscany podcast.
Yeah, it's really it really shows just what even a small part we played. It's rewarding to see that success and hear them talk about this being a model maybe for some other restoration work, which, you know, kind of makes us here in the States feel part of something that's bigger than ourselves.
You really see the value and the tremendous success of a Kickstarter campaign, and when the world comes together for such an important mission and restoration, that great things can happen. And we are looking forward to sharing an update of that restoration process with you when we come back from Tuscany in the first part of March. If you like what you hear on the Total Tuscany podcast, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And we want you to become social media friends with us. You can like our Facebook page, just search Total Tuscany, and follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Have a great week, and remember to live each and every day like you're Tuscan.